welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. Today we are talking about when procedures attack. When they just kind of suck, how they get there, what we can do about that. Yeah, we're taking a nice dive into that. So here we go. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at The Hop Nerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. And welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I don't even know what episode it is, y'all. I just know we keep closing the gap on 400. Yeah. Once we get to 400 episodes, the magic number podcast utopia will be ours, ours, ours. You know, like zero once we finally get there. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. Welcome to another episode today. And before we get into today's episode, where we're going to jump into and procedures attack. I want to tell you about a couple of things. Well, maybe a little bit of an update first. And I've been here, there, everywhere. I've been everywhere, man. That's what it's felt like. I've been bouncing around, helping a lot of folks with human and organizational performance. And I like it. I love it. I got to have more of it. I like it and I love it. And you like it and you love it. And we got to have more of it together because we're focusing on how you do this stuff in real life. And that's what I love. Down in the trenches, down in the mud. How does this work? Like, how do we make this work here? Yeah, that's the conversation that I like to have. That's the work that I really like to do. If you need a hand with something like that, send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. I don't have to give you the calendar spiel. You know that. It gets full. Well, and I want to come help you. And I don't want to have to say, no, I'm already travel booked on that day. I don't want to have to do that. So the sooner the better. And I will be on an aeroplane coming to hang out with you, with that workshop, that learning team facilitation, coaching, pre, post event learning, operational learning, helping you deploy starting point cards in the field, doing assessments, all kinds of stuff. And you know, you can find out more about what I do over at thehopnerd.com. You can schedule some time if you want to jump on a call and talk about what you're looking for. Yep. Everything that has to do with human and organizational performance and safety and quality these days, and a little bit of everything that Hop touches, or approaching things a bit differently touches, I'm here for it. From keynotes to workshops to classes to this to that, you know that. I love it. I'm passionate about it, and I can't wait to come out and share that passion with you, do some of that stuff with you in your organization or at your next event. Again, click that little book a consult thing over at thehopnerd.com, and we will chat about it over Zoom, or you can send me an email, or you can request a quote directly right there, or just send me that note to say, hey, we're ready to, let's just go. Yep, there we go. Happy to be flexible and come do some amazing work with you. Like it, love it. Ooh, I have more of it. Oh, yeah. Give me one more. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. One more. Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of stuff that makes me go, ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Starting points. Operationally curious conversation starters. I am constantly blown away by a few things here. I knew that these were handy dandy useful because I knew that they were going to be because we created them with the folks that wanted them. Yeah. And I've been them. I've been the leader. And, you know, they were born out of that conversation. And you know the story. I won't get too deep into it here, but they were born out of this thing, like, yeah, better questions, but which ones? Well, I don't want to give you like a list of better questions because then they become the list of better questions. And then pretty soon we turn them into a checklist of better questions. And then that sucks. Well, no, don't do that. Just give me some hack. Give me some starting points. And yeah, they were birthed in that fashion of leaders and other folks in organizations say, we want to have better conversations. I don't need all the questions. I don't need a script. I just need something to get me started. And that's exactly what they do. They are an easy, handy way to bake operational curiosity into your day-to-day, pre-event operational learning into your day-to-day. No wacky card you got to wear in a lanyard around your neck, no quotas, no spreadsheets, no workshops, no training, just a handy-dandy card deck packed full of better questions. If you haven't checked them out, go over to thehopnerd.com/SP. SP as in starting points. Yeah, the H-O-P nerd.com/SP. And you can download a whole bunch of those cards right there at the very top. And you can go try some of those questions on for size within your organization. Or you can listen to our weekly Starting Points minisodes where we drop one of those questions and encourage you to go have that conversation. We talk about why some of those questions are super important, how they play out, some of the mindset you need to have going into some of these conversations. Yeah, we talk about all that here every single week. I think it's on Thursdays, something like that. Yeah, it's over there. Check that out as well. But go over to the website, download those questions, give them a shot. Let me know what you think about them. If you're already playing with them, go check out the card decks. They're right there. Or if you're like, man, this sounds cool, you can buy the card decks, the learning journals, all that stuff right there. And coolest of all, because we are working with multiple organizations currently that have licensed and are in the process of licensing our Starting Point cards. Like it, love it, super duper cool, because you license them and we can customize. We can do limited runs all the way up to perpetual licensing, from co-branded stuff to white label stuff and everything in between, allowing you to adapt and customize these cards for your organization. The sweetest part about that is that what many organizations want to do is they're like, I like the questions. We don't need another questions. I just want it to be in our brand. I want people to know that this is our tool. We want it to show as our tool in the organization. We want this logo on there. We want this color palette on there. And then sometimes let's add a couple interesting questions that are specific to insert company name here. You can do all that stuff. Send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, if you would like to inquire about licensing, or you can click that book a consult thing over on the website and we can hop on Zoom and chat about it. But real, real, real flexible and real, real easy to make sure that these things, these starting points, this highly valuable tool that hundreds of organizations are using currently, thousands upon thousands of these card decks deployed around the globe, can be even that much more valuable to you. So again, I'm just getting amped up every time we talk about starting points. The other thing that I'm constantly surprised about with starting points are the ways that people invent to use them. Yeah, I mean, some of the basics of, like, I whip this out in a meeting. Sure, I keep these on my desk as a leader, and I just randomly pick one before I go out and spend time in the field, and it gives me a cool place to ask an operationally curious question. I always learn a ton when I just pick one of these out of there, or I'm using it in our workshops. I hear that one a bunch. But when I'm wandering around in organizations, I saw one in a hard hat the other day. Yeah, you know how you used to carry like a playing card in like a military helmet, you know? Yeah, you got that in there in your helmet, in your brain bucket there, you know, they're carrying around that cool card. Looks like something, you know, out of a war movie. I saw one of those. I was like, hey, bro, cool card. What's up with that? It's like, well, what we do is our leader gives us one of these cards, and I take it, I read it, I put it in my hard hat. I think about it. You know, it's in that little band around the headlamp, because we have a headlamp on their hard hat. And it's like, I think about it. And then when I see somebody else that I think has some really interesting stuff to say about this question, I hand it off to them. Yeah, they read it and they think about it. And then they hand it off. Yeah, we pass this card around. Then when we come in the afternoons for a debrief, it's a cool thing. We get to talk about all the stuff we were thinking about and pondering on. And how cool is that? I would have never imagined that working like that. But when you say it out loud, I wonder if you're having the same, like, holy crap, that's like the coolest thing ever moment that I'm having thinking about that. Because you think, I've got a question, I'm sticking it in my heart, and it's cool. But more importantly, I'm reading the question, I'm understanding the question. And as I'm working, I'm putting some thought into that question. I've got some built-in time to think and ponder and reflect on that. And then I say, ooh, you know, Jane has worked with something. I know she's got some interesting. And then when they're coming back for their debrief, they're doing like many operational learning teams built off of that questions. What a cool way to debrief. What a cool way to use a starting point card. How stinking cool. So there you go. Make sure you like, you share, you subscribe anywhere that you can like, share, and subscribe. When you see us posting stuff, you know, that helps a ton when you like and you comment and you share that stuff. Make sure that you're checking out the videos, the resources over on the website, the merch shop, all the books that are out there. My latest one, Aren't You Curious? The Operationally Curious Leader. talks a lot about being exactly that, being an operationally curious leader. Some key ideas and principles to help us be more operationally curious as leaders. Really, to not be so much of the final authority and knower of things, but to be more of the seeker, the student, that leader that's out there learning with their people, making it easier to create success. That's pretty cool. You can find all that stuff on Amazon. With all that said, here we go. Let's jump on in. Well, today we're diving into a topic that's near and dear to many of our hearts, or maybe far, far away. Get that thing away from my heart. Or maybe for some of us, like reoccurring migraine, headache. We're talking about procedures. Those documents that are supposed to guide us. In some worlds, we like to think that they keep us safe. Do they, though? Have you ever seen a piece of paper that actually, like, physically made someone? I haven't seen that. That is your quality. But often end up as gigantic paperweights on our desks or scribble paper for other things that are more important or maybe plastered on the walls in the bathroom so we can write how horrible these things are, you know, to draw really naughty pictures on them, you know, stuff like that. This source of endless frustration. But here, let me say this. I think, and this will probably give away a lot of the episode, I think that our plans, our rules, our policies, our procedures, this blue line, if you will, this work as imagined, and a lot of times they're needed, they're necessary. And when you create them with the people that need to use them, when you actually create those with them, sometimes, just sometimes, they're even pretty stinking useful to us in getting work done. So what we're talking about today is this, though. When procedures attack, how do we make them not suck? How do we make them actually useful? Is a lot of them miss the mark, and they really become more of a burden than they are a help in us getting work done. How many of us have worked in places where there is literally a piece of paper for every single task that is done ever and always? It's basically a library of procedures and binders, just thick, miles and miles and miles and miles of paper. Now, you don't see that as much anymore because we pour them all onto our internets online. So, you know, you don't see the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of papers that you have generated that no one will ever read. Yet, when folks that you talk to that actually do the work, they have an experience that I just described. That exists. I've never seen that. Or if you're in a bit of a more pointed organization, of course I've seen that. I've read all of them. I've read 14 million pages because that's what you told me means to be safe or not get me fired. Yeah. It's that kind of experience. So why does this happen? Well, I think it's the same as most well-intentioned things. Well-intended procedures end up useless or worse, actively unhelpful. Number one, it's usually because we write them in a vacuum. Whoever the air quotes here expert of that thing is, meaning whoever the support staff around that thing is, rather than the person that's actually doing that thing is, they're going to we're going to lock them in an office, maybe a couple of them, and we're going to say, don't come out until you've written this safety procedure. Don't come out, quality folks, until you've written this quality procedure. Yeah. Now that's the thing. You get a bunch of us safety folks in a conference room and you lock us in there with coffee, pizza, or you get a bunch of us quality folks in there and you lock us in there with burritos and coffee and pizza and desserts. And you say, don't come out until you get this procedure done. We will make you a procedure, man. And we were going to pour all of our collective safety, quality, environmental, et cetera, on and on and on and on, brain power into it. If you think about that through the lens of being a safety practitioner, I'm going to bubble wrap you, and I'm going to wrap you in duct tape on top of that bubble wrap, and then I'm going to put a harness on around that stuff. Even if you're not going to, you know, be at height, I'm going to tie that to like a cherry picker, you know, the little thing you use on an engine. And then I'm going to roll that around behind you just in case you slip over thin air, you know, and I'm going to do all that kind of safety stuff to you. And that's the problem. It's to you. Yeah, and we are taking our safety brand and we are pouring a bunch of safety brain power into that, but it is far, 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 far removed from the actual work. It is devoid of operational reality. I have written so many procedures that I can't even begin to name them, just as you have. You might be writing one right now while you're listening to this, hidden, behind, your Word doc over at thehopnerd.com. You got the podcast player on, you got your Teams headset on, so people think that you're busy. But you're not. You're tinkering away at this stupid procedure, listening to me yell about procedures. Yeah, I know what you're doing. I can see you. I can see you. There's the camera. No. but you might be writing one right now. But the problem is that we're guessing. Yeah, we're guessing. I've written a ton of those procedures, and they were educated, highly educated best guesses. And they were well-intentioned. Best guesses. Until I bring in the folks that actually have to use them, they're best guesses. And worse yet, they're me doing stuff that I think is helpful to people. The biggest problem is that they're written in a vacuum, far removed from the actual work. We try to imagine all the stuff that's going to work well and stuff that will stand in the way, but it is operational fantasy. We make stuff that is unusable by normal human beings that actually do that job. Trying to get that job done. You almost need a law degree, a safety degree, a quality degree to interpret some of these. Now, we generate a bunch of this crap too, so they just become stacks of meaningless paper. We have so much that where do you even start? That's a big thing too. They become wallpaper. They exist to tick a compliance box, but no one really expects people to follow them. No one really expects you to read them. We've just got them there because we got to have them there. And they're super out of sync with how work actually gets done. So then when we actually might need that something, we pull it out and we're like, well, this is hot garbage. Yeah. So they get outdated. Work changes. Equipment changes. People change. We learn and we grow, and we never bake that learning and growth into those procedures. If we do, we just keep adding to. So a procedure that started out as like a half a page is now 87 freaking pages, making it useless to us. And what's the result? We just, Yeah, and if you tell me use it or else, I start maliciously complying with it. I will follow that bad procedure to the letter of the law because you've given me no choice, and I will do it just to prove a point to you that it is crap. Are you looking for a handy dandy, easy peasy, lemon squeezy kind of way to get conversations flowing around operational reality within your organization? These conversations around work is done versus work is imagined, pain points, problems, even best practices, the good stuff, the great stuff. Well, Starting Points is exactly what you're looking for. Starting Points, the original Operationally Curious card deck, packed full of a ton of learning-focused, operationally curious icebreaker questions to get those conversations flowing, helping your organization to effectively learn, improve, and innovate. Head over to thehopnerd.com/SP to download our free sample deck, to purchase the original card decks and learning journals, or to inquire about licensing options so that you can customize Starting Points with your brand, your logo, and your questions for your specific organization's needs. Again, that's thehopnerd.com/SP. Back to the show. And more often than not, what we really see, especially if the procedures, even if it's none of that other stuff, they just don't work very well for us. But we put that pretty mean, gnarly compliance burden on it. Comply or thou shalt pay the price type of burden on those things. You get creative non-compliance, meaning that I make it look like I'm in compliance with this. The box stays green. If you audit for this, you will see that I am, wink, wink, nod, nod, in compliance with this. But I'm not following a lick of it. There you go. There's my Appalachian in there for you. I'm not following the first lick of this procedure. Not at all. In fact, I've probably developed innovation. I was going to say workarounds, but it's really innovation. To actually get the job done, I've probably discovered a better way to do it. But back to the problem. We're just understanding less and less and less and less about how work actually gets done with that. So that's a real problem in and of itself. We have this false dichotomy in organizations. Like there are procedure people, people who love the rules and documents. And then people who think procedures get in the way of good work. But honestly, that's kind of missing the point, huh? Procedures aren't inherently good or bad. They're just a thing. I think most things within our organizations, within our lives, within our world should come with a, can be used for good or evil, clause, like a sticker. Like we need that on most things before we do it within our organizations, procedures included. You don't have a, these people are good procedure people and these people are not procedure people, blah. You don't have that. What you usually have are great procedures or shit procedures. What you usually have are procedures that are poorly designed, unclear, out of touch with reality, procedures that actually increase problems and pain and risk, that force people to choose from bad choices, that only present them with difficult, horrific, make life harder kind of choices. Follow the procedure even if it feels unsafe or efficient or else. So what's the choice? There is no choice. You deviate or hope for the best. There's no choice there. That's just a crap procedure. That's not a good position to put people into. From the other perspective of that, you have good designed procedures that are clear, that are built on operational reality, that give people some room to adapt and figure it out, that are built with the people that have to use them, that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's super important. Now, there's another thing here, too, from a leadership management perspective up through the hierarchy of our organizations. A shelf full of procedures gives us this dangerous illusion of control, and it is simply an illusion. We have a procedure for that, the black line. So work is happening as we designed it, or prescribed it, or demanded it. Yeah, so everything is safe. Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole episode in and of itself. We're getting into black line, blue line stuff there, right? It's just a bit of a mirage, this control. That's not really the safety of work. That's safety work. Yeah, that's just paper. That's not the actual safety of work, as Dave Proven et al. Would say. I love that safety work versus the safety of work conversation. So how do we fix this mess? How do we turn our procedures from blunt torture instruments into tools that actually help? So right here, we mentioned this, but this is the important bit. That expertise that you need to write those procedures, it doesn't live in the safety office. Well, I pay those people to be safety experts. What have they done for me lately? And if they can't write me a procedure about freaking safety, then why do I even need? Okay. The expertise that you need to create really, really good quality procedures, it doesn't live in the quality office. What do I pay those quality people? It doesn't. That expertise lives with the people closest to that work. Duh. Got to throw in some duhs there. Yeah. That expertise lives with the people that live that job, those folks nearest to that work. If you want procedures that will actually be handy-dandy useful, if you want procedures that people will actually use and find valuable, you need to involve the users in creating and maintaining them. This isn't just about asking for feedback on a final draft. This is genuine co-creation and genuine ongoing maintenance. Another key point to highlight here is this is breaking that do stuff to, do stuff for, that's breaking that stuff down. This is doing stuff with people. We know that works out a lot better than trying to do stuff to people or try to do stuff for people. This is genuine co-creation and ongoing co-maintenance. What does this look like? It could be workshops with frontline staff, engineers, safety pros. It could be learning teams with this mixture of folks. It could be pulling us all together and saying, hey, we need to write something that actually works here. This could mean making your frontline experts the primary authors or key contributors with support from people that are good and like knowing how to write procedures. It could be the safety pro being, hey, I'm taking the backseat. You guys tell me what to put down, and I will use my safety brain to make sure that we are in compliance, and I'll help you with anything you need to run down as far as that goes, and I will give you some of my feedback on some of this stuff, but you own it. It's yours. I'm just helping. It involves building in feedback loops, trying out drafts, micro experimenting, seeing how it works in practice, getting more feedback, breaking it, revising it, breaking it, revising it, breaking it, revising it, repeating it, and then getting it out there. It looked like all of that stuff. The focus needs to shift to clarity. usability and what people actually need to know. Not what we think they need to know, but what they tell us that they need to know. Not what legal wants, not what some auditor thinks looks good. That all ends up being crap. Have you ever written a procedure based on auditor recommendations? That's an unusable procedure. I've never seen an auditor get their hands on a procedure and it end up better. Never. Auditor friends, I'm sorry. But, and please, that's just been my personal experience with auditors that I know too well. I'm sure there are some great ones out there that are auditing differently. Yeah, if you're auditing differently, I want to have you on the podcast. Let me know. The Hop Nerd at hopnerd@gmail.com. Now, this is about designing for the actual user under actual conditions and building in a bit of room. This idea you don't have to proceduralize everything, giving them the room to adapt and figure out around the areas where, like, this is a great place to adapt and figure out. Yeah, we need to leave that space in there. It shouldn't be just strict compliance, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's got to have some room to do some thinking, some figuring out, because that's what we're good at. While also having some early detection and warning systems in place, some guardrails in place to say, hey, you're getting a little bit over here around something that's got some critical risk around it. This is where probably we want to get back towards the procedure. Think about how you build all that stuff in there. Again, that's building it with the folks nearest to that work. Procedures should be a helpful resource. They should be decision aids. They should be memory joggers, not just rigid step-by-step instructions or else for robots. That doesn't work. It doesn't work well. That's when I glance through it and go, this is crap. And then I go do what I know needs to be done. And then think about size. We think that we get paid by the page sometimes, I think, when we write procedures, because we can't imagine just not putting everything in there. The one that I highlight in workshops a bunch is our pre-job brief procedure that we use in our organization, or at least we discovered that we were using, or let me say, we discovered no one was using, because at some point it had grown to be like 95 pages of pre-job brief and JHA and like pre-task planning stuff, and it was hot garbage. Yeah, it just put what needs to be there, folks. Yeah, back to the main point. The folks that use it will tell you, I need like 2 pages. I don't need 2,700 pages. I can give you the 2 pages on how to mostly create success around this thing, and you can just burn the rest of them. Yeah, so the right thing there. Folks will tell you if they need a check sheet. Folks will tell you if they need a flow chart or a visual guide. Don't just do that crap to them and say, ha-ha, safety solved it. I'm going to give you a 47-page check sheet and bad things will never happen again. Nope. People just like photocopy the check sheet so you think they're doing it. Yeah, creative non-compliant. Yeah, and then you think like, solved it. It's good. They love my check sheet. And nobody uses it. So I keep coming back to the main point here. Everything that you need to know here, whether you need a check sheet, whether 20 pages is good or you need 2, pretty much all of it, you need to do that with the folks nearest to the work. They don't have all the answers, just like you don't have all the answers. But when you pull this brain power together, you start to come up with some pretty damn good answers. So a couple of things that I like to do here, I think just interesting go-dos for you, things to think about, of practical steps that you can do. Is this declare a procedure amnesty, a ceasefire, especially if you're in this thing where you have some serious, serious, maybe blamey shamey going on in your organization, or it's very pointed around procedures. Get an honest assessment of what things are being used, what's valued, what's useless, what's a problem. Yeah, that's a great place to start. You know, just be like, listen, ceasefire. Nothing bad's going to, you got to mean it. You can't fake this. Nothing bad's going to come out of it. Just tell us which ones we're not using and help us understand why it makes sense to not use them. Then you can get a good, honest assessment and move from that into, okay, how do we fix this together? What do you need to be successful? That's a pretty good first step. A great way to ask this question, ask this. What procedures do you really depend on in your day-to-day job? People have an answer for you. Now, if you want to ask it the other way, you can follow this question up or start here if you'd like to. What procedures would you throw in the trash can right now? And you would never even notice that they're gone. Yeah, that's an interesting way to get a little bit of that assessment happening. Go down that co-creation path. Pick a procedure that everybody agrees sucks. Work with the folks nearest to that work to make it suck a whole bunch less. Don't just take it to scale. Take it out there. Let people try it out. Let them break it, tweak and tune it for a bit, and then roll it out to scale. And behold, a procedure that people actually use. It doesn't suck. It's not horrible. Yeah. So empower that frontline ownership, not only at the beginning of this, not only for that one deal where we go, hey, we're going to write this procedure. Now safety is going to take it from here, you bunch of... No. Involve them in the not only the creation, but the ongoing maintenance of those procedures as well. So there's just a few things I wanted to cover there. So if I had to bring this all back to one thing, it's this. Our plans, our policies, our procedures, our rules even. In my humble opinion, I think they're needed. I think they're necessary. And when they are created with the folks that have to use them, we almost always find that they're pretty stinking useful. You need that expertise that lives nearest to the sharp end to create procedures, plans, rules that are not only fair, that are not only just, but that are, number one, built on operational reality. They will show you what they need to be successful, but you have to ask them what they need to be successful. You have to involve them in the process of creating what this looks like, this procedure, this handbook, this thing. You got to mean it. Yeah, when they say, we don't need two pages, we only need one, don't give them 200. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Don't do it to them. If you go down that path of involving and co-creating with those folks and then continuing to maintenance those things with the true subject matter experts of that work, surprise, your procedures start to not suck. Until next time, it is Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd, signing off. Send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. If you need a hand on your human and organization performance journey, check out Starting Points and all the free resources that we have over at thehopnerd.com. Until next time, love you, mean it. Bye, everybody. Bye. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hop Nerd Podcast and the Hop Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehopnerd.com or send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.